A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Tzadi Gimel, Psachim 93b, pagination is 186. We will learn the Mishnah, which can be found at the transition point between small and wide lines on the page. The Mishnah says, Ezi derech rechoka, what is considered a far away place from the Beis HaMikdash, for which the person would be eligible to bring the second Karban Pesach, the Pesach Sheni, as described in Parshas Baha'aloscha, Menamodiyin Velachutz, Uchumidasa Lecho Ruach Deve Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says the distance to Modiyim, which is a place, further than that, and the same thing, a circle around the Beis HaMikdash, that distance is considered distant. And if the person was that far away, he would be eligible to bring the Pesach Sheni. And indeed, the Rambam, when he paskins this halacha, talks about a very significant distance from Yerushalayim. Rabbi Eliezer says, Mi'iskufa su'azora velachutz. As long as he's outside of the Azora, he's already considered rechoka, he's considered distant and eligible for Pesach Sheni. Amale Rabbi Yossi observed, Lefikach nakud al hay. Therefore, there's a dot on the letter hay of the word rechoka, which means distant. Lomar, to tell you that there's something qualifying about this rechoka. Loma pnei sharachok vadai. It's not that he's really far away, he's just technically far away. He's outside of the parameters to bring the karbon. Elami iskufas wazara v'lachutz, once he's outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, he's already considered lachutz. Again, the word rechoka, that he's distant, well, he's not so distant, he's distant enough to be considered distant. And that's what the dat accomplishes, according to Rabbi Yossi. So, we're being introduced to the concept of dots, which occurs a number of places in Chumash. And as we've discussed many times regarding Kri and Ksiv, the way it's written might be different than the way our tradition is to read it, is not that there's a copyist mistake. Our Torah has been maintained with great integrity. Perhaps we can use the word miraculously so, but the fact is that it's been maintained with integrity. When there's a kri and a ksiv, it means that there are nuances that are trying to be conveyed, an inflection, if you will, which we can accomplish much more easily in the vocal, but it was managed to be accomplished in the written as well through this unique messaging system. So sometimes there's a kri and ksiv, it's missing a letter, and it informs you, for example, that the Nesiyim were looked at with criticism because they didn't donate until after everybody else donated, so they lost a letter from their name. It lets you know something. So here also, the dot on top of a letter informed you that there's a qualification here. As we explain, I believe it's Rashi by us, that it's as if the letter is qualified or missing. This is also discussed in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel, which we'll try to get to in a moment. But first, the principle. The concept that we're dealing with is a dot on top of the letter qualifies the message. So according to Rabbi Yossi, it means that he's not really distant. He's just technically distant. The Yerushalmi on this Mishnah also recognizes in the Rabbanon the dot on the hay qualifies, but they understand it differently. We have a more famous example of the dots in Parshas Vayishlach on the word Vayishokehu, that Esav kissed Yaakov, but it was not a genuine kiss. It was a kiss with an attempt to jugular, to actually kill him by biting him. Vayishakehu, the entire word vayishakeyu, which normally would be an endearing word to kiss, is as if it's expunged from the text. With those dots, you're informed it was a kiss, but it was a very different type of kiss. We also have dots in a very unique form in Parshas Nitzavim, which follows a slightly different pattern as to what the function of the dots is. The pasuk over there says, Hanistaros la'Hashem Elokeinu. In terms of sins, the hidden ones are to Hashem. V'haniglos, but the open sins, that's our responsibility, that the Jewish people should be on track. Lanu ulevaneinu ad olam, to us and our children forever. La'asas es kol divrei haTorah hazos, to observe all of Torah. That's the end of Perek Chavtes in Devarim. And the implication from such a pasuk would be that the hidden stuff is not our responsibility, but the open stuff is our responsibility. That's the concept of arvus, of responsibility, one Jew for another. As the expression goes, if one Jew makes a hole on the ship underneath his own seat, he can't say, I made it under my own seat, what's it your business? It's going to affect everybody if the hole starts bringing in water onto the ship. And that's the concept, niglos. Once we know about it, we have to take action. It matters to us. What action we take is not necessarily punishing. Maybe sometimes it's being mekariv. It's explaining to people why it's important. But we have to take action if it's known to us. If it's hidden from us, it would seem from this pasuk, it's not our responsibility. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel explains regarding the story of Achan, where he privately took from the booty, which was not allowed to be done in the case of Jericho, and the Jewish people suffered a loss in the following battle. And the question, of course, is, it was done hiddenly. We didn't know about it. Why would the Jewish people suffer a loss? And it's explained because after they crossed the Jordan, after they crossed the Yarden, they are responsible, vahanistaros, even for things that are hidden. Which brings us to the dot discussion. On top of the letters of lanu ulevaneinu and the ayin of the word ad, 11 letters are dotted. What is the message? We find the message explained, although this has been misrepresented by some, but it is presented in Avos D'Reb Nosson, the 34th chapter, and this is in our text as it's printed in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's Dalid. Eser Nekudos B'Torah. There are 10 places where Nekudos of these significant marks take place. And one of them is Hanistaros L'Hashem Elokeinu V'Haniglos Lanu Ulevaneinu Nakud Al Lanu Ulevaneinu V'Al Ad Shebe'ad. The letters of Lanu Ulevaneinu and the ayin of Ad Olam are all dotted. Lama, why? Elakach Amar Ezra, this is what Ezra said. Im Yavu Eliyahu V'yomar Li, if Eliyahu will come, meaning I'm answerable to somebody, if Eliyahu would come and tell me, Mipnei Makasavtakach, why did you write it like that? Omer Anilo, I will tell him, Kvarnakadati Alehen, I marked it. I made dots on it, so even though you don't like the way I wrote it, but I did dot it to indicate that something's up. Vim Omarli, and if he tells me, Yofe Kasafta, yeah, you wrote it good. Avir Nekuda Me'aleyan, I can always take the dots off because I did it right. What do I have to dot it for? So Ezra obviously had a question in his mind when he was writing these words, Lanu Ulevaneinu Ad Olam, whether it should be written in this place or it should be written differently. Rashi in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel explains, when Moshe gave the Torah, the correct positioning of these words was after the word Vahaniglos. Hanistaros, the hidden things, are to Hashem. We're not responsible for them at that time. That's before they crossed the Jordan. Vahaniglos, what's revealed, is Lanu Levaneinu Ad Olam. That's our responsibility. But Ezra is writing his Torah by redacting all the texts and making sure everything is pure and correct and getting rid of any mistakes that might have cropped up in any private Sifrei Torah of the time. And as he incorporated his official Torah as the method of reading in the Jewish people as they came back by the second Jewish Commonwealth after the Golus, and maybe there were some Sifrei Torah out there that different people had copied differently. So Ezra was responsible for the official Torah scroll. So he's deciding how to write it. And there was a temptation in his mind to switch these words, positioning. Hanistaros la'Hashem Elokeinu and lanu levoneinu also, because this is after the Yarden has been crossed and we are responsible for the hidden things too. So he's rewriting the Torah, so to speak. He has the liberty, perhaps, of switching these words to where they belong now that we are in the post-crossing the Jordan era. But Ezra wouldn't dare change the position of these words. He wants to get the Torah exactly the way Moshe presented it. And he's saying, I'm wondering to myself, now that we're after we've crossed the Jordan, maybe I should really reposition these words to include responsibility for the hidden violations, as Achan, as an example, showed that the Jewish people are responsible if one person hiddenly does something. But Ezra, as I'm saying, could not bring himself to change the text of Moshe's Torah, even logic notwithstanding. So he dotted it to let you know that it's not positioned correctly according to our tradition of the current law. The current law, after we've crossed the Jordan, is that we are not only responsible for Niglos, but we're also responsible, as the early part of the Pasuk said, for Nistaros, for hidden things. So he kept it, as in the text of Moshe's Torah, but he dotted it to let you know that the halacha post-crossing the Jordan has changed. And it belongs, at least when you explain the Torah, in the earlier part of the Pasuk. Hanistaros la'Hashem Elokeinu, the hidden is to Hashem, and lanu ulevaneinu, to be responsible for that as well. Going back to our Mishnah, keeping it simple, there is a concept of dots, and the dots indicates, from a very high scholarly perspective, that something else is going on here. This is not like the dots of later texts, where they weren't sure about the variant text, so they dotted it and put something else in the margin. These are dots which are intended to convey a message, but Ezra definitely took responsibility for the text. It wasn't a question. He took responsibility for the text, and he's wondering, what would be a conversation with Eliyahu Anavi, where Eliyahu would say, why did you write it like that? He says, I couldn't change from the Torah of Moshe, but I did dot it to indicate that the law in our time, post-crossing the Jordan, is indeed different. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.